There are some copies back there of judge recommendations for, I think there's six of them all together for Supreme Court, Superior Court, and so forth in Pennsylvania. If we need more copies, let me know. I'll make more copies of them, but just some, these are pro-life candidates or endorsed in any way by a pro-life organization. So you have those back there if you need those for Tuesday. Okay.
Okay. So, all right, thank you. So they'll be back on the back table there if you need those. And I didn't realize you started wearing glasses, Ben. I remember when that happened to me. That was a few years ago. Well, again, we're glad to have Ben here. And even though he is a default preacher, he's not. And appreciate you, brother. Come preach to us.
Thanks, Pastor. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter number 16 tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 16. No, I would preach out of 1 Samuel, I believe it was 18 this morning. Just the way it worked out, nothing, no plans on that or of a series or anything. But 1 Samuel chapter number 16. And I want to preach on the subject tonight of the will of God. The subject, finding the will of God. You know, sad to say, you know, a lot of Christians across the land and believers really have a hard time discerning what's the will of God and which way to go with certain circumstances and situations. I mean, I know of you know, some folks that have moved all over the countryside, just not content, you know, with whatever's going on, and they assume that, well, what's the will of God for me to go somewhere else or whatever, and you know, they just kind of flounder. And sometimes we just kind of flounder. And so tonight I just want to preach a simple message, and it's not an all-inclusive formula. This is how you get the will of God, but really it comes down to relationship with Him. But there's some principles that we can sure go by that can certainly give us some direction in what the Lord wants, and ultimately it comes down to your walk with Him, you know. And so anyway, 1 Samuel chapter 16, we're going to see here. Okay, so first of all, as we come into this, Saul is, like we said this morning, he's a mess, okay? And Saul is out of the will of God, and God rejected him as being king. And so God says to the prophet Samuel, go anoint my next king. Go anoint my next king. And he sends him to Jesse's house. All right? And as we come into 1 Samuel 16, the Lord gives this prophet a job to do. Now let's pick it up here in verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I've refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For the Lord looketh, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel and said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and with a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Father, we do thank you tonight for your word. And Lord, we recognize tonight that your will doesn't come from a preacher or a church per se, or a religious organization, or through baptism or anything like that. Your will, as we see it, comes from your word and from in your truth. And so, God, would you speak to each one of our hearts tonight? Many of us facing different situations and circumstances. I think of these young people here tonight with their whole lives ahead of them and maybe standing at a crossroad. You'd give that special knowledge, that special unction to those in search of your will. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. So folks, as we come into 1 Samuel 16, the Lord has given the prophet Samuel a job to do. He's to anoint the next king of Israel, and Samuel had a definite leading, okay, from God to the family of the next king. It was going to be David's family. It was going to be the son. It was going to be one of the sons of Jesse. And you see, God definitely, for each one of us in here, has a general will for us. Well, certainly, you know, we're to be, Christians are to be kind. We're to be loving. We're to be free from fornication, adultery, and, you know, and that's God's general will. No doubt about that. And we'd agree on that tonight. But, you know, God has a specific will. Not all of us are supposed to do the same thing. All right? It's as simple as that. But God also makes provision in this book for those circumstances and those situations. Watch it now, by His Spirit, by His leading tonight. And I want to go through some principles tonight that will give some understanding and give some direction in that way. But ultimately, God's going to deal with you, sir, ma'am, on a personal level. Not everybody's called to be a preacher. Not everybody's going to go be an auto mechanic. Not everybody's going to go do whatever, all right? Not everybody's going to live in Penns Valley or going to go to California. I don't know why you'd want to do it, but you see what I'm saying? God could lead you there. And so, you know, how do we find this specific direction? We face huge choices. How do we know what God wants? And the first thing I want us to see tonight, in verse number 6 here he is. Saul comes up to these guys. I'm sorry, Samuel comes up to these guys. He's concerned about Saul. You talk about pressures of the day. Saul would have had his head if he'd have known he was going to anoint another king. All right? So there's, listen, we got pressures today. Samuel here has got to find the will of God in the midst of a pressure cooker, okay? And he's got a live one on his hands with old Saul, right? And anyway, so he's like, okay, I'll go do this sacrifice under the guise of, go meet David's family under the guise of this sacrifice. God told him how to do it. He went and did it. But how's he to know? Look at verse 6 now. Here he shows up, they have this sacrifice. In verse 6 he says, and it came to pass when they were come, he looked on Eliab. Now, apparently Eliab's a pretty big boy, all right? Pretty good looking fella. He's a handsome dog, apparently. And he was pretty good to look upon, all right? And, of course, Saul, remember, was head and shoulders above everybody else, okay? Man looks on the outward appearance. Doesn't it say that? But God looks on the heart. And Eliab comes by, now watch it now. Watch what old Samuel does. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Now, But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, all right? Because I've refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. He looked on Eliab. And Samuel thought, boy, this is the guy. Now, we need to understand something, guys. Samuel is a choice servant of God. He knows God. He's walked with God. He's talked with God. He knows that God is his own. He has that relationship with him. All right? We know this about Samuel. He wanted God's will. Okay? Hey, folks, young people, all of us tonight, get the checklist going. Is that where you are? Don't you give a rip. See what I'm saying? What's God speaking to you about? Let him have his way now. Also, something about Samuel. He had a heart to see God honored. He had a heart to see God glorified. No doubt about that with this man. All right? He had known God for years. He had been following for years. And he had discerned, watch it. He had discerned God's will in the past, hadn't he? Uh-huh. Remember when God called him? That still small voice, and I know that's in another, that's for Elijah also there, but also that it was sort of like that. It was that quiet voice when God called him. And yet on this occasion, Samuel's deceived. He's deceived. He's a little hasty to judge. Look at verse 7 with me. It says, and the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance nor on his height of the stature, because I've refused him. Folks, we can be a little hasty sometimes trying to discern what God wants, especially with big decisions, right? All right? We don't want to be hasty, all right? Number two, he was going by what it looked like, the appearance of the situations. Maybe even going out on a limb here, what he felt about it, right? And there's something to some of all that, get it? You know, there's something about a woman's intuition, right? And well, I just not sure about that. I don't feel like that's quite right. But you know, there's some more concrete things that we make like decisions on than those. Okay? A lot more concrete, okay? I think of Genesis chapter 3 with Adam and Eve, and you know, good people can be deceived. Samuel was deceived here, Eve was deceived. Did she know about God? Sure. She was in a perfect state, folks. She had a relationship with the Lord. Okay? No doubt. We think of the book of Galatians chapter 2 there, verses 11 through 14, talks about Peter, how he was deceived when he was separated from the saved Gentiles and to please the Judaizers. What am I saying? Good men get deceived on things, okay? Just how it is. Good men today do. Good ladies today do. You know, I know of a Christian man that worked in amongst about 30 other guys. And he was serious about his relationship with the Lord, okay? And he worked on a landscape crew and a landscape department, you know, and 30 or 40 people there. And yeah, you could imagine in a landscape operation like that, or any operation with that many people, what kind of language you're going to hear, right? You're going to hear some bad language. It's just the world we live in. Hey, listen, expect it, okay? We live in the world, right? We're not supposed to be of it, right? But we live in it, and we're to reach people in it, okay? And this one guy would always just let it rip, profanity after profanity after profanity, you know. And, you know, this fella, we'll call him Freddie, he was getting sick of it, you know, and he just got tired of what was going on with it, and so he thought, boy, I'm gonna talk to him about that. Well, he did. Hey, do you know that it's not what we say, it's how we say it too? Well, he talked to him about it. And I didn't hear that conversation. I don't know what exactly how it was said, but this fella that was sort of gave all the profanity all the time took big time offense. And he thought that this Freddie was going to go to the boss. He's going to lose his job. He was all beside himself. I mean, it was a total wreck between that. And I'll tell you what it did. It ruined that relationship between those two men. There's a saved man that has no contact or no credibility with this other fellow. You know what I'm saying? It was kind of going about it in a wrong way. Did he mean well? Yes, he did. He did. But we've got to do things in a right way. And that guy wanted nothing to do with him after that. Lost all really credibility with him to give him a solid gospel witness in the future. Folks, there's some things we've got to expect from people, all right? And that's just how it is. It's not always what we say, but how we communicate it. We need God's will in a situation, all right? And I say all that to say this. You know, good people can be deceived, right? Good people can be deceived. Samuel here says, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Proverbs 21, verse 5, and it wasn't the Lord's anointed. Proverbs 21, 5 says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteous, but everyone that is hasty only to want. Don't be hasty. Don't be in a hurry. I know of a guy that went to Bible college, and he was serious about the Lord. Anybody that knew him would know that this kid had a heart for God, and he had a heart to be a pastor, and he took his studies serious, and he came from a good home where his dad and his mom were really pushing, you know, not pushing him, but really fostering his service for God. And there was a girl there at the college, and it was a pastor's daughter. Okay, well, how could it go wrong, right? You know, and he was interested in her, and his parents had some reserves about the relationship and about what was going on, and he went ahead and he married her anyway. And a year and a half later, she leaves him, and you know, she says she doesn't love him anymore, and didn't. It's not what she wanted out of life. And of course, the guy's going toward ministry and everything, and it turns out that she, you know, she didn't like men. You know, I mean, what are you going to say? It's crazy. I'm just telling you, it's stuff. Crazy stuff happens. What am I saying? We need the will of God. That's what I'm saying. All right. And good people can be deceived. And I know that brother, and he's a good guy. You know what I'm saying? But he got deceived, and his dad and mom saw that, and they're like, boy, I don't know about this. I'm not saying they saw all the way down the road. They just didn't. Something was funny. Young people, your parents do. They have some intuition sometimes, you know. And I get it. You get so old, or you get out of the house, or you whatever, you know. Just know, God says honor dad and mom. You know what I mean? And so really take that into account. If they're under your roof, that's different. You got to obey then, right? So, but number one, good people can be deceived. But number two, I want you to see here, is number two about finding the will of God. Look at verse 11. Okay. In verse 10, we'll pick it up there. It says, again, Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, look what he does, folks. Or hear all thy children. And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. What did Samuel do? Samuel asked questions. You know, we've got to ask questions. We've got to do our homework, figure out what should we do at this turn? What should we do with this problem? We need the Lord's wisdom here, you know. He says, are all their children here? He says, you know, Samuel needed to ask a question in this situation to find out the Lord's will here. Proverbs 18:13 says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. You know, if you need another car, or you need another vehicle, you go to the car lot, right? And you ask questions. You listen carefully to the answers. Okay? You know, what year is the car? Well, how many miles are on it? How much does it cost? You go to some of these outfits, and they don't want to talk to you about how much a car costs. They want to talk to you about how much you can afford a month. Well, I don't really want to afford anything a month. You know what I'm saying? And they don't want to talk to you about that. They want to talk to you about what I can afford a month. No, you understand. What's the car cost? Right? And by the answer to those questions, many times you can tell whether or not The Lord's opening the door for you to buy the car, closing the door, or whatever it is that you believe that you're supposed to do. All right? And the most important thing, even about buying a car, is, Lord, what do you want? You want me to buy another car? You want me to, or whatever it is that you have the desire to do. And asking questions helps you determine that, whether it's a financial decision. Got plenty of those to make these days, don't we? Right? Whether it's a decision on a job change, who you will marry, who, you know, how you will handle a certain life situation, we need to ask questions. We need to get answers. All right? And a very important question is this. Listen, don't miss this. What is my heart motive in the situation? A lot of times only you're going to know it. Why do I want this? Why am I doing this? Another question is this. Listen to this one. Do I need this? Here's one. Will this glorify the Lord, what I'm about to do? You know? Another one is, well, if I do this, could it hurt my testimony? You know? They're good questions to ask. You know? It's just a matter. So we need to ask questions. But number three tonight, number one, we need to recognize we can be deceived. Okay? Fine. Number two, we need to ask questions and listen carefully for the answers. Number three, we need to wait for God to confirm his will. Look at verse 11. It says, "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him." Now watch it now. Look at these next words. "For we will not sit down till he come hither." We'll wait. Right? We're going to wait on this guy. We're on the edge of our seat here, okay? But we're going to wait. And we're going to make sure this is God. Oftentimes, there's a waiting period, folks, before we know what the will of God is. And we'll run out ahead and we'll make a mess of it. I know of a young couple that was interested in each other, you know, and they were contemplating marriage. And both of them had the blessing from their parents, you know, and they thought, boy, that's going to be that, you know. And she was very sure about it, the lady. She was sure. Okay, but the guy, he wasn't quite sold on it just all the way yet, right? And he just needed some time to be sure of it, that it was God's will for him to marry her. And it took some prayer, it took some time alone, all right, for this guy. And God's confirmation finally came. Hey, listen, they were married and they're very happy to this day, all right? We need the Lord's direction and his will for every area of our lives. Listen, without it, it's a disaster. And I want to give you three things here. We went through these three points in the scripture here, and I want to give you three other scriptural principles tonight that's kind of go down the line. I wish you'd write them down even. I mean, I want to tell you, these principles, what I want to give you here in just a minute, is something in my life. Old-timey preacher gave me these things, and it has been such a help to me in discerning what does God want here for next thing. And it takes some time to figure these things out. Dr. F.B. Meyer, he was an old-time preacher from England, all right? He preached all over the world in the 1900s. And one night while he was traveling by ship, he was coming into a harbor. The water and the shore were pitch black. And the only thing that old F.B. Meyer could see were all the lights in this city. They were coming into a city port, and there was lights everywhere. And he said to the captain, he's standing up there with his big wheel, you know what I mean? He says, "Captain, how in the world do you know how to get in there?" And the captain looked at the old preacher, and he turned the wheel a little bit this way. He says, "Look out in the middle there, in the midst of those lights." And he just went whoomp, and he just brought that boat just a little bit. He says, "You see that really bright light back there?" The preacher says, "Yeah. Yeah, I see it." And he says, "Yep." He says, "Now, watch this." And he moved that wheel a little bit more. He says, "You see that other light?" He says, "Looks like two of them, the same brightness." And the preacher said, yeah, I see it. He goes, "Now, watch this." He moved that wheel a little bit more. He says, "Now watch." He says, "Watch when those two lights line up with this third one." And he moved her. Boom. They all lined up. Bam. He says, you see that streak of light right there? And the preacher says, well, yeah. He goes, that'll take me right in, safe home. I say all that to say this. When those three lights lined up, that took that boat right into harbor where it needed to be. And I want to give you three lights. Three lights here quickly at the end of this bit right here tonight that help you determine what the will of God is when they line up. All right? And the first light we're going to see is the light of circumstance. We all have them, amen? We all have circumstances. We all have things we're dealing with. Some of them's good. Some of them's bad, we think, right? But we all have them. The light of circumstance or situations. Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 and 22, the Bible says, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changeth the times and the seasons. Well, who does that? Who's changing these fall colors out here? God is. He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. There's a whirlwind in our country right now, right? Yeah. Hillary thought she'd never lose, right? Well, she was wrong. Why? Because he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth in him. He is in control of our circumstances. He's not in control how we deal with them. He gives us a free will, doesn't he? Yes, sir. He gives us a free will. And so, but he does have an influence on our circumstances. Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and as the rivers of water, he turneth whithersoever he will. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. That's a glorious verse. I think we'll hit that a little more here in just a little bit. But God is in control of our circumstances. And you say, yeah, but somebody else chose to do that, and that's why I'm in this circumstance. Yeah, but you got to trust him. You have to trust him. You see, it doesn't matter what so-and-so did. You're where you are. All right? And so whatever you're dealing with right now, God has a will for what you to do, for what he wants you to do, whatever it is. Okay. Ultimately, the Lord knows what he wants you to do. He opens doors and he closes doors. That's our circumstances have an influence on our decisions. Question, do you think that our circumstances always dictate what we're supposed to do? No. Mm-mm. No, it's just one light. It's one light. Okay. As a child of God, they should not be our only influence. Number two, light number two, the light of God's word. Psalm 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we've all heard the illustration. I've given a lot. A man goes to his pastor and says, pastor, my wife and I haven't got along for years, and I think God's leading me to marry this other woman because I think we ought to get a divorce, and I had to remarry this other woman down at the where he works, okay? And now, he didn't get that from God's word, all right? He didn't, but that happened, actually. So, but anyway, no, that doesn't line up with God's word. But, you know, there are things to do. You know, when the Lord called me to preach his word, he gave me the desire to preach the word of God. I had a decision at that time, you know, I had an old preacher look at me when I was figuring out what I was supposed to do when God called me to preach, and the old boy looked at me and he says, well, Brother Ben, he said, you have a decision to make, no doubt, he says, but a call to preach is a call to prepare. Now, was I going to stay at Penn State, where I worked for just a few years, really, okay? And it's a good job. I loved it, even, okay? I know I talked about some of the issues this morning, but nonetheless, I still liked it, okay? Had good benefits, and I had good pay, and I was a solid job, and all those things. Was I going to stay there and learn God's word somehow over and through the mail and through video or online or whatever? Or did the Lord want me to leave all that? My job, my family, this place. And I teetered in between that, and I got to Acts chapter 9. You know, Acts chapter 9 is where the Apostle Paul got saved. Do you folks remember that? You talk about a 180-degree turn in life? That was him. I spent about 2 hours one afternoon in Acts chapter 9, and God was so impressing upon my heart just to leave it all and go to college. You know, and I couldn't hardly even stand it, and I thought, boy, and you talk about, I still a little bit confused. Now, you know what's interesting about about God's Word? A lot of times, if you'll go to some folks that know the Lord, some folks that are mature in the Lord, they'll be able to help you discern some things too. And I went to some of these older preachers, and this guy was one of them. I don't know if he remembers it, but he was one of them. And I said, what in the world should I do? Is it a picnic? And he just really encouraged me. That you really need to get some training. You know, and there's another preacher, went to another one, and he says, Ben, that's the guy. He says, a call to preach is a call to prepare, and you really should go. I explained my feelings and what God was dealing with me in the scriptures. And folks, watch this, it's so important. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Do you delight in God? Listen, you need that. That's a prerequisite to know what he wants. I'm talking about making him your exceeding joy. You know, I'm married. My best friend's back here in a yellow sweater. All right, no doubt about that. We're one. She's my partner in life. We go hand in hand, and we're going off into the sunset, right? That's where I'm going with that lady, okay? And she's mine, and I'm hers, okay? And we're friends. We're best friends. But I want to tell you something. There's a friend that's sticking closer to a brother, and his name's Jesus Christ. And if he's not more in my life, I'm in trouble. You understand what I'm saying? He needs to be my exceeding joy. Do you understand that? Besides, I might not have her forever. She ain't going to have me forever. It's going to work one way, right? That's just the facts of it, folks. You might as well make Jesus Christ your exceeding joy and worship him and love him and do anything he wants you to do because he's worthy. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ that won't quit. That's going to be your foundation. That's going to be stability in life. That's the difference between the man and the woman that is confident in what they're doing and the man and the woman that's timid and not just so sure about every situation, that's blown with their emotions every way through the wind. You hear what I'm saying? He's a rock. He's our foundation. And so as we see it here, God dealt with me in Acts chapter 9. I had these preachers saying, no, you probably ought to go to college. You're going to be distracted here. You're going to be this and this. And if God's calling you to preach, you ought to go. Listen, when God is leading you to do something, sir, ma'am, the circumstance will line up with his word. I was single. Okay? I didn't have a lot of responsibility. And I'm not saying a guy that isn't single or that has a lot of responsibility shouldn't go do that. That's between you and God. You see it? That's the beauty of it. It's individual soul liberty. That's a Baptist distinctive, by the way, but it's a Bible distinctive. Okay? God deals with us. He deals with our hearts. You need a relationship. The truth does not put you in a cookie-cutter situation.
Because of this, you got to do this. And because of this, fellow has to do this.
No. No. Uh-uh. God deals with you as an individual.
Right.
All right? The truth will set you free, not put you in a box. I'm so sick of boxes. So sick of boxes. I hear different things about the Mennonite church and some folks coming out of that and what they do and their list of rules. You know, you know what I love about this, our preacher? We're accountable to Christ.
Amen.
Buddy, that's freedom. Oh, by the way, that's the American way.
Amen.
These folks out here just don't know it.
Amen.
All right? Nonetheless. So, the first light is circumstance. How's that line up with what's going on, you know? Where are you at? Okay? The second light is God's word. And this third light, folks, it is so important. All right? It's not any less important, really, than the other two. Okay? It's also going to be hinged on God's word, and that's why it's not any less important. Okay? But the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, while I'm going to quote this verse to you, would you go to Colossians for me, please? Colossians chapter number 3, because I want you to see this. I want to kind of explain this, and I'm not over time yet, so don't worry. Don't worry about that clock. I'm not past time to go home just yet. And I know your kids are hungry. I know mine are. But, yeah, I'm going to get to Colossians chapter 3. Bad at sword drills. I'm not good at them. Okay, now, Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. The Bible says, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Daddy, Father. Led by the Spirit of God. Okay? Our hearts, our minds, led by the Spirit of God. That's a secret in the will of God. And folks, I want to tell you, as sure as I'm leaning on this here piano, all right, you need to have Jesus Christ to be your exceeding joy. Amen. The love of your life. All right? And delight thyself also in the Lord, and He'll give you those desires. By the way, it won't just be your desires, it'll be His desire. All right? You'll hear that. There's an old book called The Wind of the Spirit. Just go with the wind, man. All right? The wind of the Spirit of God. Okay? And then the sails are up, and we're heading where God wants. That's my desire. All right? Is that your desire? I guess I'm not. It is my desire, but I'm saying that to you this evening. That should be your desire. All right? To go with Him. So, I'm talking about the third light is the light of God's Spirit or His peace. Peace. The world's in a crazy mess for lack of peace. Amen? And if we get our eyes focused on the world, Christian, we're going to be a mess too. Oftentimes, I'm the biggest candidate you'll ever see at that. Yep, I get my eyes on what's going on with Trump and the Patriots and what's going on with the deep state government and all this stuff. And, oh, man, I got to get my eyes back in this book. All right, now don't get me wrong. This book right here interprets what's going on the world landscape, okay? But our focus has got to be in that exceeding joy of the Lord Jesus. It's got to be. By the way, that's revival, all right? It's coming to Him. So the light of God's peace, okay, it's a confidence. Led of the Spirit of God, Colossians, chapter 3 here. I want you to see here. As we come into Colossians chapter 3, it's talking about really, the Spirit of God and how He works in our minds, in our hearts. It's kind of the heart of the Christian life and what's going on inside emotionally and spiritually, okay? In the which, look at verse 7, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. It's speaking about being disobedient to the Lord and the things you used to be before you got saved. In the which ye also walked in some time when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Okay? Verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, longsuffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel or a fight or a striving against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Above all these things, look verse 14, put on the bond of charity. That's love, the bond of love, all right? Which is the bond of perfectness, the bond of completion. Watch it, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule. I'm going to focus on that little word rule there in just a minute. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. All right, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed. Now, watch that verse 17. What's God want me to do? And whatsoever you do in word or deed, Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. God, what do you want? Please look up at verse number 15. Let the peace of God rule. Folks, there will be God's peace, when you do what's right by the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be a peace in your heart. I'm not talking that there'll be an absence of fear. No. Not talking about that. We have fears. Okay? I'm talking about a peace. I'm talking that you'll have a peace in spite of the fear. I remember the first time I got up to preach, it was in an Indian reservation. And some of you in this room were there. All right? And there was a big old preacher up there, big old Indian fella. All right? And he was telling us, he was getting ready to introduce me to preach. And I forget who, somebody said, "Hey, Ben, would you want to address this crowd today?" About 50 Indian people in there and things. And it's the first I ever preached in my life. I hadn't been to college yet. And I said, well, yeah. Hey, listen to me. My hands are shaking. My feet are shaking. I'm scared to death. I was ill-prepared. Do you realize that? I was ill-prepared. I knew it. And scared to death, I get up to that pulpit and stood there, and I just majorly fell apart. Pam, yeah, I know you remember it. Just fell apart. It's up there with Dean and Pam and Becca and at this Indian reservation. Scared to death. But here's what I knew. I want to tell you, what blows my mind is God had me stand there, and I had a perfect peace. This here, you couldn't have shook me. This here is what I'm supposed to do. Yep, it was a wreck. But it was a starting point. And God wanted me to do it. So just because you're afraid, mister, doesn't mean that it's not the will of God. That's just how it is. When I left Pennsylvania for North Carolina, left my job, left everything here, you think I was just whistling Dixie down the road? You're wrong. Scared to death. But this here's what God wanted. I'm often wondering what those martyrs did when they were burned at the stake. I think they had a resolve in their heart. It's like, you know what? I don't really care if I die. I'm just going to do what he wants me to do. Amen. You see, you don't get that by just being hum-ho about your Christianity. You get that by getting in that book and knowing him personally and intimately and recognizing that he is the one that matters. Glory be to him. You see, and that's what we're talking about tonight. The will of God. What does he want? The light of God's Spirit. The light of God's peace. And so, there's three lights, folks. We saw them. What's your circumstance? What's God's word say about your circumstance and about what your desires are? Do you have peace about it? If you don't have peace about it and you're in turmoil about it, don't do it. Why? Because that's the inner workings of the Christian life right there. That's our emotional makeup, if you don't notice right there, of all these things put on charity, to bond, and perfectness. That has to do with what's in between your ears and what's going on. The Spirit of God, he that's his control center. He runs his word through that. Listen, folks, we're not robots. We're complex. We're complex. Can't help it. The psychiatrists and psychologists get it all wrong. Can't help that. All right? They're not the bishop of our souls. He is. And we're complex, and he deals with us with these things. Good people can be deceived. We need to ask questions. We need to wait to confirm God's will. And one last time, I want to nail these things down. It has helped me so much in my life, of different decisions. A light of God's word. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The light of circumstance. You say, well, how's that biblical? Well, because he changes the times and the seasons. He works things out. Okay? What in some form or fashion, he is in control. Okay. The light of God's word and God's peace. What's God speaking to you about tonight? There might be someone here tonight, God's calling you to preach. One of you young men. Might be someone here tonight, you're dealing with a difficult situation and you need God's light. It might be just the simple fact God's dealing with you. Hey, listen, I need to get in a book. I need to make Christ my exceeding joy. Hey, whatever it is tonight, would you let him have it? Whatever it is. Let God have his way. I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask Pastor to come and ask the pianist to come. Go ahead and let Pastor close and see how he sees fit. Lord, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the confidence that you give to your people when they seek you with the whole heart. And that's the key, Lord, seeking you with the whole heart. Oh, God, may each one of us have that in Christ's name. Amen.
Hymn books, please, 153. Stand with me. In just a moment, we'll sing, I Surrender All. The greatest thing you can do in your life is find the will of God and then do it. It'll scare you. Sometimes you won't even know for sure what's going on, but you just keep the lights in line. Here's the circumstance. There's the Word of God. There's the Spirit of God. This is the way. Walk in it. And it doesn't matter if you're one of the older folks here or one of the younger ones. If you would just seek God's will in your life and learn to continually to walk in His will, there's a place God's taken you. Most of all, and well, look at Revelation 4, verse 11. This, in Revelation 4, verse 11. For thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. That's where God's taken us. And when you stop and you think about it, what did Jesus Christ pray in the Garden of Gethsemane? Not my will, thine be done. I mean, there's things I don't understand about that. Was God, but yet Jesus Christ was praying to the Father. But there was still that aspect of surrender to the Father's will that was so necessary. And that's the most necessary thing in each and every one of our lives. Surrender to that will of God. I pray that each one of you will really take to heart the message tonight. As we sing this hymn of invitation, may that be the prayer of your heart. I surrender all. If you need to come as we sing, then you come, the altar's open. Number 153. Thank you.